had someone tell me one time, they said, everybody knows how to say thank you. And I said, let's go watch a parent with a toddler. And something happens, and the parent says, say thank you. And the child says, thank you, but they're not even looking at the person that they're supposed to be thanking for it. They have no concept what the words mean. And it's so unusual to hear a sincere thank you from anybody that's instructed to do so. So Thanksgiving time rolls around, and somehow we think it's incumbent upon us to help us be grateful. And I'm reminded of telling the toddler, say thank you, and they go, thank you, and have no concept of what that means to honestly be grateful. Sometimes the world is full of the most ungrateful thank yous around. We're going to look today for a short passage in the book of Hebrews and look at some of the godly characteristics of thanksgiving to help us understand how to be grateful and what it means to be grateful, to have a sense of gratitude. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, 15 to 16. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that gives thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Starts out saying, through him. For the believer, gratitude is Jesus-centered. Of all of the acts throughout history committed in our behalf, the one that should evoke the most gratitude out of us is Jesus' death on the cross. It's interesting the issues and problems that can be caused by ingratitude. If you're in a marital relationship and there's no gratitude for the role of the other one, the amount of bitterness and upsetness that can arise because he never appreciates anything I do or she doesn't appreciate what I do, and the arguments that result from that lack of perceived appreciation can be huge. If you're in a workplace, and no matter what you do, the boss is never satisfied, and you have this ongoing discontent with work because there's no appreciation for the efforts you make. Or if you're a boss that continually protects your employees and they take it for granted, and that kind of lack of appreciation makes for a terrible working relationship. Well, here we've got God that gave his only begotten Son to a bunch of people that honestly deserve hell. We have sinned against God. None are righteous. No, not one. The wages of sin is death. What we deserve is to go to hell. But because that was not acceptable to God, he sent Jesus, a perfect, beautiful man, a truly good man, a truly divine God, and he died in our place. He died for us. Jackson's just going to explore. And God gave that to us freely. And so the author of Hebrews says that in order for us to be grateful, it starts out through Him, through Jesus, with an understanding that our lives, our very existence, our eternal pleasure results from a gracious gift of God that we do not deserve. And it begins with an understanding that is through Him. That's the basis and beginning of gratitude. We're not grateful to God. We don't understand gratitude to anyone else. But then it says, through Him then, let us continually. One of the characteristics of gratitude is a sense of continual. This is not a one-time event or a once-a-year event or get it said and be done with event, but a continual, ongoing event. See, gratitude is not something we do once and get over with. Gratitude is something that's ongoing. Kind of like parenthood. You know? Once you start, you kind of got to keep with it. Even when the kids grow up, you recognize there's still something involved in that whole idea of parenthood. Talked to my dad this week. He had some parental things to say. You never lose. Parenthood is continual. Gratitude is to be continual. And if you forget, something will happen to help you remember how to continually be grateful. Stories told one time about a family that came to see their village priest, and they were complaining because they didn't appreciate each other. The house was too small. He couldn't afford enough money for them. He didn't work hard enough for them to get a bigger house. He was upset with her because she didn't take care of the house they had well enough. Even if he got her a bigger house, she wouldn't take care of it right. And they were just complaining and fussing and carrying on. And the priest says, tell you what you do. You've got a goat outside, don't you? And he's kind of proud of that. He says, well, we've got three goats. He says, you just need one of them. Take him and bring him inside the house with you. And they looked at the priest like he was crazy. And the priest says, you want my advice or not? I'm the priest. If you don't take the goat in your house, I'm going to go tell everybody in the world that you wouldn't follow the advice of the priest. And then where are you going to be? So they go, fine. And they take and they put the goat in the house. Goats smell. Goats buck. They learned that their particular goat snored. Goat went everywhere in the house it wanted to go. Goat liked sleeping on their bed. They kept trying to shove them out to the kids' bed. No, the goat came and slept on their bed, and they kind of had to get shoved off to the side because goats are strong. After 2 weeks, the priest said, y'all come on back and see me. They did. How are things going? Oh, you wouldn't believe that goat. That goat did this, and that goat chewed up our clothes, and that goat messed in the bed, and that goat, just everything wrong with the goat. The priest says, put the goat back outside. So they did. And they cleaned up. And a week later, the priest stopped by the house and says, how are things going? Oh, the house is so clean. The house is so beautiful. It smells so good. We're sleeping so good. It's amazing how much better the house is without that goat in it. And the priest says, nothing's changed. but your attitude towards each other. Continual is the nature of thanksgiving. That we don't let the little gripes and irritations take away our choice to be grateful. We choose to find something to be grateful about, continual, even when it's inconvenient or ugly or difficult. And then he said, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Thanksgiving is to be sacrificial. And I struggle with that a little bit because I wasn't sure I understood what sacrifice meant. You've been a parent long enough, you understand sacrificing for your kids. You think you're sacrificing sleep when they're toddlers. Wait till you're sacrificing sleep when they're teenagers. Sleep's a memory, not a reality. Sacrifice. It means doing without in order to achieve something. We recognize someone who's graduated from college because they've sacrificed to earn their degree. We recognize men and women who served overseas in the armed forces because they sacrificed on our behalf. We recognize what sacrifice means. It means making choices and doing without. We sacrifice to reach goals, to provide for others, or to make things happen. If we're going to sacrifice for Thanksgiving, that means we're going to let go of that sense of entitlement that says, I deserve this. And replace it with, I appreciate this. We're going to let go and sacrifice our personal demands. That personal sense of oughtness. This is the way things ought to be. And I'm going to let that go so I can appreciate the things that are. He describes gratitude as sacrificial. You ever seen someone entitled? Think everybody in the world owes them something? And just by their very existence, things ought to be given to them and handed to them? Very difficult to deal with. But what we have to sacrifice is that sense of entitlement in order to be grateful. We must sacrifice entitlement, personal demands, and personal sense of oughtness in order to give thanks. He says, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. There's to be a verbal praise. Something where our lips move and sounds come out that talk about how we're thankful. It is interesting to me how so often the appeal to gratitude is the appeal to some kind of feeling within the heart, to some kind of emotional response or some kind of attitude. And yet the Scripture describes thanksgiving as an action of our mouths. Here's a challenge for those of you with children and grandchildren in your house. Ask your kids each day, what are you thankful for? We come home from school and mom would say, tell us one thing you learned today. That was always a challenge. Because quite frankly, some days at school we didn't learn anything. Start training your kids to be thankful. Tell me one thing you're thankful with. thankful for that happened today. And watch them struggle a little bit. Be honest. Get home from work and tell your spouse something you were thankful about this day. Look for something your family member did and express to them your thanksgiving for it. It's a verbal action. It's amazing to me how many people do so many different things and nobody ever appreciates them. And how important it is to be thankful, to appreciate with words what's going on. Be thankful. I'm grateful that when things get unplugged, we can plug them back in and they work again. But then he says in verse 16, and do not neglect doing good and sharing. Thanksgiving is also physical actions. Things we do that are sharing with others and doing good. You're not honestly grateful unless it works out both in the words that you say and the actions that you do. It's interesting how many people are generous, loving, caring, giving people. And it's beautiful to watch them be that way. We got a couple of folks in the church here that every week they'll bring some food that they'll put in the box in the back that goes to the food bank. And just that's their regular thing. They go to the rest of the store and they pick up something to give to somebody else. That is their ongoing, regular practice and habit. Because they're good people. We appreciate it. There are those who like to give and to share. But there are others of us that that's a struggle for. We have to work at that part of us. It doesn't come naturally to us. We have to get poked by our spouse to be remembered to do it. Give, to share, to help out, to do something nice, to care. Physical acts means time and stuff exchange hands. It is good to share. And he says, so do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. With such things, God is pleased. Do you want to do something supernatural? Do you want to do something that transcends the laws of space and time? Then follow these characteristics of gratitude and join with God in doing the supernatural. Partner with God and partake together with God in making a difference about the world. Our hands and our feet and our words impact the person of God. That God is pleased when we are grateful in word and deed. God is pleased. Several years ago, a fellow wrote a book about the love languages. I had a bunch of folks asking, how do you express your love to your spouse and your family? What languages of love do they speak? And you started seeing folks asking the folks, how do you show your love to your spouse? Here's a question for you. How do you bring pleasure to God? Remember who God is. Supernatural, all-powerful, all-knowing, creative force that began the universe. And yet He allows us to bring Him pleasure by partaking with Him in loving, caring, sharing, giving actions and thankful words that make a difference. We can move God. And that is powerful. It's always interesting to me how so many Christians almost rejoice in their powerlessness. We can't do anything. We're just a group of few. We're not going to make any difference. And here comes God saying, your words and your actions bring me pleasure. And I want to please God with my life. What does it mean to be thankful? James and John, I want you all to help me out a second. Wake you both up. Make sure everybody gets one of these. Make sure everybody gets one of those, please. Now, we could time them and see how they do compared to the pastor's pal passing them out, but we'll not. What? That's true. One of our traditions for our annual Thanksgiving meal is where we take the time to talk about what we're thankful for. And rather than put you on the spot next week, what I wanted to do was give you time to think about it. I want you to take some time this week and think about your most blessed events of 2019. I got a couple of categories there. Most blessed event in your life this year. If you know, can think of something that God did that happened to you that was a blessed event. In your family, at your church, at your work, in my neighborhood. And I want you to bring these back next week. And because I've been doing this long enough, I'll have more copies for you for next week. There's plenty more for those of you who say, oh yeah, it's sitting on the kitchen table. But bring those back next week after thinking about it and praying about it. We used to sing an old song that said, name your many blessings, count them one by one. And one of the phrases was, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And so I'm going to ask you to look at the blessing, the most blessed events in those areas in your life and think about those. And next week we're going to come and gather them together and share them together. Whether we just post them on the wall or read them, I'm not sure which way we're going to go yet. But just having a time, God, how have you blessed me? What has happened this year where I can show the blessings of God? And how can I bring God pleasure by verbalizing those blessings? And I challenge you to do that. Let's pray. Father, help us be truly grateful in word, in deed, in life, in our families, at our workplaces. Help us to understand that one of the things that makes us different from a lost and dying world is that we do not have a sense of entitlement, but we have an understanding of grace, that you have graciously given us more than we can ever expect. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.